Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 3. "And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him, and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants the prophets, which spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Heavenly Father, please help us today. Lord, as Daniel prays, Lord, we do the same. We acknowledge our sins, the sins we have in our life, the sins perhaps that nobody knows about. Lord, at times we've rebelled and done wrong. At times we've said the wrong thing, or perhaps had evil in our heart toward our brother, or who knows what we've done. But I'm asking, Lord, as Daniel asks, to have mercy upon us, and forgive us, and to help us. Lord, help me to preach this message today. And I'm careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the wonderful name, the matchless name, the glorious name, the precious name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. As we studied last time, this chapter starts out with Daniel the prophet coming across the book of Jeremiah, the scrolls of Jeremiah. And he finds that God promised, what a promise it was, that because of the sin and rebellion of the people of God, that he would carry away Israel, carry away Judah, carry away Jerusalem, all the people thereof, to Babylon, and keep them there for 70 years as punishment for their rebellion, their idolatry, their witchcraft, what have you. But Daniel finds the prophecy that Jeremiah gave. And I'm reminded of one of the kings of Judah. I don't recall which one it was. Maybe Hezekiah. I don't remember. But it says that they were cleaning out the house of God, the priests were. And that's an interesting phrase. They were house cleaning in the house of God. And they stumbled upon the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And they began to read, the priest did, and he ran to the king and said, O king, you're not going to believe this, but we found the Bible, or the Bible of that day, the law. And they began to read together, and they were smitten in their heart. They began to repent, because they knew that they and the people of God were not doing what the book said. And they repented, and they tried to get right. But in this chapter, Daniel chapter 9, he finds the prophecy that Jeremiah gave. And then he realized that Israel had been in Babylon a certain number of years, and the 70 years, I suppose, was coming to a close. And Daniel had been living the life of a servant in the court of the kings. We can go back to chapter 1 of this great book and read about the three Hebrew children, how they were placed in positions of servanthood. Instead of being back home in Jerusalem or Judah or wherever they were from, they were held captive in a strange land, a land that did not know God. And we've studied Nebuchadnezzar, we've studied Belshazzar, we've studied these evil kings that mocked the people of God and mocked the God of heaven. But they were there in Babylon because they had rebelled against God. They had said, "We won't do what you said, Lord. We'll do what we want to do." And as we read through this prayer, which we'll do in a minute, we see Daniel acknowledging the things that his people had done wrong. The Bible says that he that would approach God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That first part, that the seeker must believe that God is. You must believe the Bible. You must believe the first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis. You must believe, not in evolution, not in random chance, but that God created the heavens and the earth, and God put mankind on this earth, and that one day, man will have to stand before God and give an account. And us personally, you, me, the next guy, we must answer to God. And I preached extensively, and I'll do so again now, that Jesus Christ is coming back. The Lord from glory is coming back. And this book, Daniel, talks about that second coming of Christ. That day is fast approaching. Again, I don't know when. I have no idea when Jesus will return. But I know it's a fact. He will return. You must first believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God resists the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. To the sinner, to the one that won't repent, to the one that lives rebellious all of his life, hell awaits. But to the man that will bow his head, and his heart, really, a man that humbles himself before God, he'll see the goodness of God. First, his sins washed away. A new spirit put in him. The power to live a godly, holy, righteous life God will give him. The Christian can call upon God and God will say, "Here I am." And that's a wonderful thought. When you get in trouble, you can call upon God and he'll be Johnny on the spot to help you. But let's read Daniel's prayer. And as we said last week, in verse 3, "And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek my prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Again, repentance. You must repent of your sins to get saved. You must repent, as 1 John 1:9 says, as we happen to fall into some sin or commit some sin as Christians, we must repent. But God is faithful, continually faithful, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we must be humble before God. We must bow before Him with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, again that's repentance, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, the great and terrible God, not that God is an ogre, but that God is holy, God is awesome. And when men step into His presence, they abhor themselves. In Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet said, Woe is me, for I am undone. O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him, and to them that keep His commandments. Jesus said, If you love me, keep my commandments. And He says, My commandments are not grievous. It's not a hard thing to follow God. Honestly, it's a hard thing to serve the devil. Verse 5, We have sinned and committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants the prophets. Remember when Jesus came on the scene, we read that in the Gospels. He repeatedly reminded the Pharisees that they had stoned the prophets. They had killed the prophets. A prophet is one that God sends to preach repentance, among other things. And that's what God had done for Israel, to send warning after warning after warning. And many of these prophets they killed. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants the prophets, which spake in Thy name, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee. He's righteous, He's holy, He's magnificent, I could go on and on for the rest of my life, telling of the good things of God. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel, that are near and that are afar off, through all the countries whither Thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against Thee. This reminds me of David's great prayer. In Psalm 51, he says, Against Thee, Thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in Thy sight. Remember David, king of Israel. He slept with Bathsheba, she got pregnant, and he had her husband killed. But God sent Nathan the prophet to stick his bony finger in David's face and say, Thou art the man. And he repented. Now it's interesting to think that the judgment that the law says for murder and adultery, both of these crimes, was death. David, the king of Israel, this was before the age of grace. Why was David not stoned for adultery? Why was David not stoned for murder? That's an interesting study. But he found the grace of God. He found forgiveness. And his life is a picture of us in the New Testament. we find the grace of God. We find forgiveness for our sins. Jesus didn't come to this earth to condemn it, but that through him all men might be saved. Remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in verse 8 he says it again, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, and to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Again he says in verse 8, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces, to our kings, and to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. God is a God of love and mercy and forgiveness, though we don't deserve it. We have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. You can read, for instance, in Deuteronomy, and most Christians know this verse by heart, that he set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. And there are blessings listed in Deuteronomy, that if we follow God, we get these blessings. But if we instead rebel, there are so many more curses than blessings. And he said in his law that if the Jews would not follow God, that he would throw them out of the land that he gave them. Verse 12, and he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet we made not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. God gave warning after warning after warning. Even Moses taught the people of God about the warnings. God sent prophet after prophet after prophet, but they would not hear. And it says that they would not pray. They wouldn't repent. They wouldn't turn from their iniquities. And they wouldn't understand and walk in truth. Therefore the Lord hath watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. They were in Babylon punished for 70 years. God is an evil for doing so. God said, obey me, and they would not. And he said, obey me, and they would not. And this went on for hundreds of years. And finally God had to do what he said. I'm sure it broke his heart, but he had to chastise his children by sending them captive in Babylon again for 70 years. God is righteous, men are unrighteous. When the day of judgment comes, and many find themselves in hell, God is righteous. Men were given a chance to repent. Most people in America can claim to have heard the gospel at least once. If they repent, they'll be saved. But if they refuse and make it to hell, it's not God's fault. in verse 15, "And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought forth thy people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned and have done wickedly." David is reminding God that he knows and that his people know that they were delivered from Egypt. But again, they lived a life of sin. They lived a life of rebellion before God. They wanted to do things their own way. Christian, if you're born again, you need to remember that God saved you and got you out of the bar, got you out of the crack den, whatever. Got you out of adultery, whatever you might have been in. You need to live right before God and not refuse His instruction. Because we have so great a salvation, the epistle writer said, and we should not neglect that. But in verse 16, he asks the Lord for mercy. He says, "O Lord, according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach unto all that are about us." When Christians sin, sinners see it, and it brings a reproach upon the things of God. Verse 17, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies." When you approach God, the right way to do so is not, "Lord, look at all the good things I've done." But instead, we should say, "Who cares about the good things I've done? Lord, not because of my righteousness, but because of thy mercies and thy goodness, please do this thing for me." Again, God resists the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. And the last verse of his prayer, honestly, this is beautiful. I love this. Verse 19, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do." Again, that's the proper way to approach God. Humbly, asking Him, not demanding, not saying, "Well, look at the good things I've done. I think I deserve this." Honestly, we don't deserve anything. We're unworthy of the least of God's mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Psalm 51, David's great prayer of repentance. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother did conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.